Okay, wait. This is a gentleman neighbor. We're trying to make a tape, which was not working before, about being a lesbian in 1920 in New York. Okay, maybe.
How old are you, can you say?
I said 22.
You're 22, too.
Something like that.
And where were you living?
And, let's see, where was I living? You got to wait now.
That's all right.
I was working for who?
You doing domestic work at the time?
Yeah, I done a little domestic work, but I was in a show in Coney Island dancing, and there was, you have to make that tape. I cannot get in touch with the woman that I think was with me at the time.
It's all right. We don't need to do that, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
You just need to know what you did with your pals and who you knew and what was it like to be a lesbian.
That's what I mean.
Right. But you don't have to, you know, just what comes to you is okay.
Well, anyhow, we danced. I used to, my girlfriend, I lived with my girlfriend and her mother, Miss Mitchell. Gladys Mitchell was her name, and she danced all the time around about cabarets and things like that. So we went to Coney Island, we got into the show, into the side show where we danced, and I had a little velvet suit on, and let me see now, there was about six of us, and Gladys's mother would come and she cooked for the side show, and then she looked after us. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few other girls from out of town, like Philly and like that. And of course, there's one woman that I didn't know too much about her, but she, you know that woman looks something like Aunt, you know that woman looks something like Aunt Shockey? Yeah. As I began to think, she did. Looks just like Aunt Shockey. Light brown skinned woman. And very pleasant. And Gladys and I, we messed around together.
You
we
heard
and kissed and blah, 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 you know.
Did you come into Manhattan and go to places? Did you go to Brooklyn?
Oh, yes. Well, we had to come in Manhattan because Gladys's mother lived 130, I think she lived 130. Second Street. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but she lives somewhere around. I can't think of it right now. And I used to come and stay with Gladys and her mother, because I lived in 122nd Street, and I had a room there, three rooms. I remember going to see them now in the basement. They were all fixed up, and we used to have girls that come down to my house, and we used to go to bed and have a nice time.
Did you tell me you went to some parties in those days? They were called Buffet Flats.
Yeah, they
did. You
were,
talk about that?
We used to go to parties every other night. Mm-hmm. We were going to parties. The girls all had the parties, and they had drinking and carried on. But I never drank.
Mm-hmm.
And but I met so many other women there, you know, that was in the life. I didn't know too much about the life, but I liked it. Because then it didn't have to do anything with men, so I liked it. Then,
could you tell
at night time, when we wasn't in Coney Island, we'd leave Coney Island about 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and we'd come over to Gladys would bring me home when I'm around the subway. And we would, nighttime, we'd go to the Garden of Joy and different places. And then there was other places like, let's see, what was that place on 122nd Street? I forgot, on 7th Avenue. 7th Avenue. 135th Street and 7th Avenue. We'd go up there and we'd have dinner. We'd meet a lot of women up there. And most of our meeting was with Jackie Mabry. we become fast friends because Jack was in the show, and she was in the comedian in the show at the Lafayette. That's 132nd Street and 7th Avenue, see? No, 132nd Street and Lynx Avenue. And we become fast friends with her in case I did. And they met her and her girlfriend. And we would, they would take us to different little cabarets. And we call them cabarets. And I used to see what else.
You remember that party you once described that a woman took you? Was that in the 20s when you were taken to this house with all the cushions? Lila Walker.
Oh, that was Lila Walker, yeah.
Was that in
that was in the 21st round there, you know.
1920?
Yeah, I think so.
Tell about it, Mabel, what it was like.
Well, one night we was, Jackie wasn't with me, but this comes in with Jersey City.
Right, but we don't have to go, that's on another, this is just about this.
And one night, when the girl says, "Say, well, you want to go up to Minnie Walker's mansion up there? She has a beautiful place up on the hill." I said, "All right, Edgecombe Avenue." I said, "All right." So, hold that. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, how I come to meet Minnie Walker's is through a white girl. But the white girl don't have nothing to do with this story.
Then don't tell it. Just tell the story.
See? Mm-hmm. And then we So we went up there, and when we got there, mm-hmm. there was a lot
wait a minute,
of...
Let me see. When you got there, what?
Well, when we got there, we met other women, and then they had... there's no chairs there. Everything was... You sit on the floor, and you drink. And she was a tall, brown-skinned woman with a very nice looking. And she had both men and women there. I didn't care too much about it. So I...
Gay, though, but everybody was gay? Or
I don't know whether everybody was gay. They couldn't have been because the way they act, mm-hmm. I don't think they were gay. Mm-hmm. But you see, this will have to go inside another story.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Wherein everybody was naked when I got there. There was only two people.
That right, that's what you told me about that one.
Yeah, there were only two people that had clothes on. But this had nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. This is maybe a year later.
Oh no! But you told me about Lila Walker's party with all the cushions, and you go in one room to another.
That's a different story.
Oh well, can you tell about that story?
Can you come in on this?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, that's anything in the 20s that you remember.
Oh. So, next thing, I didn't go back to this house again until maybe about a year or so later when I met up with a girl. Don't have to tell how I met her. Okay.
You don't have to tell her.
Anyhow,
you don't want to tell.
No, well, you see, all this story connects with the one thing,
mm-hmm.
which means if I ever write it, I'd have to write it all right down the line,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? And it seems like this, I knew this girl for a while. In fact, I met her in a peculiar way. But anyhow, this was in the 23, 24, something like that. No, 23. And she wanted to take me someplace. I says, okay. So she told me that I was to go to this place. And I told her I'd been there. And so she said, "You know anybody there?" I says, "Well, I was introduced to a couple of men and, you know, girls." So she says, "Well, you go there and tell them I sent you. And you wait for me." I said, "Okay." So I went, I'll never forget, I had on a gray dress, Jersey had just become famous. I had gray trimmed with henna, the sleeve, the cuffs was trimmed with henna cord, thread, and then there's nothing else around it, but you put it on and you just bring the cord around your waist. And being small, I didn't look bad in it. And had a white fur, a little short white fur coat that she had bought for me. So, and if I have a hat on, I had long hair, so I didn't wear a hat too much. So I went there, got there about 10 o'clock, and rang the bell. The someone opened the door, and this, and he says, who are you? And I told him, who sent me? He says, just a moment. Everybody had to have your name fixed, had to have your name there. So when I went in, I went through a hall. And after I went through the hall, I showed into a room. And in the room was a big, huge room. It was beautiful, furnished and everything. So he said, wait here. And I didn't see him no more. And about 10 minutes, a woman came in with a robe on, a beautiful flowing robe. And she says, hello there. I looked up and I says, my God, here's this woman again. Is this the house I'm in? So she says, I remember you. You want to come in? I says, sure. So she called someone else. Another girl came and took my coat. And I'll never forget it. I had on slippers, velvet slippers, with little rhinestone in the buckle, of black. And she says, you look good. I says, thanks. And she says, whatever you see, be careful. If you don't want to participate in it, okay. She says, everybody don't. So she said, do you drink? I says, uh-uh. So she said, you drink soda or anything? I said, yes, I drink some soda and I drink some wine. And like, oh, she said, that's fine. So she walked through this room. And when she walked through this room, the door was a folding door. You take your hands and push it open. She pushed it open. And what met my eyes, I froze on the spot. There was about, I should say about 14 or 15 men and women that was there. And I says, oh, so this is the place. Mm-hmm, I said to myself. So she says, come on, neighbor, come on. So I enter in, and there was nobody that had any clothes on but me. So I says, my God, and nobody in no chairs, and they were sitting around on pillows, some was laying around in each other's arms, and the men, they was laying and looked like me, they was laying on top of another man, and music played soft, and soft lights, wasn't the lights up above, the lights was down below, the floor. And so she says, I'll bring you something nice to put on. Of course, I was in for everything. I had nobody tell me, don't do this and don't do that. So she brought me slippers and this robe. And I put this robe on, wrapped it around, and I sat down on a pillow. Well, I can't tell you what happened. Everything was there, bread and drinks. I had my little wine there. And first thing I know, some man over there was kissing another one. A woman over there was kissing another one. And boy, everybody was kissing. I said, look at here. Okay. As long as it didn't bother me. So, after I was there about an hour, this girl that I was with arrived, and she had to pull off her things too. So now she has a car. Later I tell you, she took me home. So anyhow, she sat down on the pillow by me, and she began to kind of hug and kiss. Seen the rest of them do it. There, do it too. So, but it's fascinating. The men, they was going down on the women, the women was going down on the men, and it was...
Oh, it was mixed.
It was mixed. It was
women.
Men and women. She always had mixed. She had gay ones, too, but everybody was mixed. Uh-huh. See, she didn't just drop with one thing, see. That's why she went so fast, she died so fast, see, because she lived too fast. And then she returned to take dope, too, you know. So finally, we started, that was over with, and everybody got their kicks and whatever they want. And they brought in served chicken and something else they served. I never could catch what it was, but I know we had pancakes too. Because when I left there at 5 o'clock in the morning, see, we had ate. And, of course, that was the second time I had been in this house. And I knew it was who she was. It was Leah Walker's daughter. And I said, my God, she won't live long because she's, you know, she's going too fast. And I won't talk back.
Maybe let me ask you some questions now. This was the time known as the Harlem Renaissance, when there was a lot of new black consciousness. People like, tell me if these names were familiar to you, Gene Toomer, who had written a book called Cain, was writing, and Langston Hughes.
She was colored, wasn't she?
It was a man, mm-hmm. Even though his name, yeah, these are all black artists. And it was a time in Harlem when all the arts were flourishing.
Yeah.
And we just, did you remember, was that, and they were gay.
Gene Toomer was gay.
Did you remember seeing that?
I didn't get around with them too much, see. If I did, I just went in like a party or something like that. And that's how I met up with all of them.
And you, at this time, you were working to support yourself.
Yeah, right? But yes, I always did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
with the show in Coney Island. And I was making pretty good money.
Okay, now, you did say, you do remember seeing Marcus Garvey, who used to...
I used to trail along with him in his, when he was in the car, you know, going up 7th Avenue in the parade. I was right there, see.
Can you describe it a little bit?
Yeah. So there's a lot of the women that was... especially the movie stars, they liked Garvey. And there was, let's see, we was, after I got through with the, the show in Coney Island, I went to the Lafayette, see. There's another little girl there, took me to Lafayette. Gladys was there, and Jackie Mabry, and, quite a few, Florence Mills and all of them, Ethel Waters, all of them was there in the show, see. They danced, they sang, they cracked jokes, and they see. So that's how I met them, see. But that lasted about a year or two, and then that broke up. And we went to Philadelphia, they had the, what's his name, Einstein, what's the man's name?
Yeah, but could you were describing, describe Marcus Garvey, how he looked to you. You started.
Well, he was a great big, heavy-set black man, and all the women was crazy over him, you know, and he had a big hall that he would talk and lecture about going to, what's that place, Africa and different places and what could happen. But I wasn't for going to no Africa, so I didn't listen to him. I just knew he was there, and Florence Mill and all of them was cahoot with him. But they kept on the road of the show life. Florence loved the show life and all of them.
Were they in life? Was Florence in life?
Yeah, all of them girls were. See, every last one of them. They didn't call it gay. I don't know what the hell they call it, but all of them was running these girls because Ethel Waters and Ethel and the other author, they were friends, and they used to fight up and down 7th Avenue like gangbusters.
Yeah, so here they were, fighting up and down. We had to stop because the dogs barked.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to fight up and down 7th Avenue and got straight. Because Ethel was after somebody else, and Ethel Waters didn't like it, and she beat her head in, you know, and slap her around, you know. And then the men couldn't do nothing with it because they were good, they were money makers, you know. So,
also, Mabel, you were in New York during the Depression. I mean, the Depression
yes,
in 1929,
it,
right?
Yeah.
How did it affect your life? Did it?
No, it didn't bother me too much because I left the show and went into taking care of children, and people was very nice to me. See, and I. Back to Jersey City, I would go off now because I was going with a girl in Jersey City, and got along pretty good. So
you really weren't. You just lived your life But did you hear? Do you remember hearing the names Jean Toomer and Langston Hughes?
I mean, you heard all the names. I had to during that time. I had to hear. So yeah, I had to hear the names because I was in the life long with them.
Mm-hmm.
See. And if you're out there in the street with them, that's who you're going to hear their names. With
How
other
would you
people.
Describe the 20, I mean, that time period, was it a good period to be gay? Did you have fun during that time?
No, you had to be very careful, even that. See, it wasn't in those years you couldn't have fun behind closed doors. But you go like you're going to work or something like that, you know. You wouldn't just jump up and go to parties and things like that. Sometimes you, nighttime, everything had to be done at night. See, day everybody slept.
Or worked,
that's right. And I'd rather work than be bothered. See, I was very selfish. I didn't bother. See, I didn't care because... my girlfriend was very nice to me, but I don't know, Sundays I'd maybe go to church if I want to, and if I didn't, I wouldn't. I had a free life. I could do anything I want. And I read so much, see, so I didn't have time to hang out with them too much. And they were all grown women, you know, and
you
I was a young
girl. You were 18.
No, I was around, yeah, but I didn't find out my age until years later.
No.
See, I could have been around 18 or 19 years old. But that time I figured that I was 24 mm-hmm. years old. See, I didn't find out my age until we went to, I was going with a priest's sister, Florence Norton, I think her name was. And her brother was a priest, and we got friendly. And during that time, when I was with her, I met, I come in contact with my people,
mm-hmm.
and my aunt tells me that my father was alive, see, and she told him I was alive and he wanted to see me, so he's on his way here, he took sick and passed away, so I never seen him.
But you discovered your age.
Well, I discovered years later, the age and everything, my name and everything else.
Let's go back to the Garden of Joy, Mabel. Could you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, the Garden of Joy, that was fun, because we would, while I was at the Lafayette, I met some girls up there, and Billy Estein, Estein was his name, and then there was all the rest of the men we met, and we used to go up there. The Garden Joy was, It was a cabaret, see, and we went to cabarets every other night, you know, different ones, and we'd sit down at the table and drink, and they'd dance, no. So that's how I met so many up there, the Garden of Joy. Then I, with a couple of other girls from the show on the Lafayette, we danced and sang up there at the Garden of Joy, but I didn't like it, so...
Why didn't you like it?
Well, it's too many men tangled up with it, you know. And if you don't go to bed with those men, you that's where you wouldn't get anywhere.
You mean even the lesbians, they bought?
They don't give a damn. They didn't care who you was. They didn't care who you was. They didn't know you was lesbians. They didn't care you was a woman.
I thought this was a place where you could dance with each other.
No, not the Garden of Joy, no. That was a cabaret. See.
Where did you go that you could dance? Did you go to any bars in the 20s that you could dance together?
Very seldom. That had to be house parties, mm-hmm. private things, you know, where you go with the women, see. But if you had the public, you had the men to tolerate, mm-hmm. see. And I didn't like it, so that left me out, see.
Okay, we'll stop now.
We're on Easy Street now, because you can have your places where the women will... congregate and talk and have parties and all like that, but I didn't start the congregating secretly until I hit the Bronx in 1938. And I met a lot of people. Then I began to meet a lot of people.
And come out.
Yeah.
You said something at the table last night, Mabel, that was very important about...
What's that?
The message you learned from your life with Lillian in the sense about keeping control over someone. Do you remember what you're talking about? How you feel, a message you have about life. You told Carol, remember you said to her, you should always do... Remember you were thinking about your life?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what you were thinking about?
Right this minute, I don't remember what I told her. Because it comes out.
Being able to do the things you want.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, I tell you, when you, now, with the girls, now, they can live together. But when I was coming along, everything was hush, so that you couldn't spread out like you can now. See, now it's entirely different. You wouldn't catch a woman with what you got now. See, and you had to be very quiet because the men would come in and break up the joint. They'd break up the house. See, they didn't care. And there wasn't too many gay men.
Or at least you didn't know them.
No, I didn't know them. Sure, there was gay all over the place. But I didn't know them, see. And they kept that on a QT. The men's just got around branching out the cells. Mm-hmm.
But you were also talking about how couples, you were talking about how two women living together shouldn't hold each other back from doing things.
No, I don't think, Joan, that a woman should. For instance, the two of them are together. Because from my experience, after I met Lillian in 1932, now I had a girlfriend who used to tell Lillian, look out, Mabel is so fly, she fly. And I didn't want her to think that I was after every woman with wool skirts. So I just simply went into a shell, and whatever, we'd go to parties or something, I wouldn't pay anybody any attention. Now that is wrong, because I didn't get anywhere, I don't know nothing. What I'm seeing now is entirely different than what I wanted to live or wanted to be. And I don't think a woman should. It's just like a man and woman. Now, he keeps that woman right in the house to have children and all like that. See, why he rush out. But that's wrong. She should go out and spread out and see other people. And maybe she want to kiss somebody or go to bed with them. Okay. Now, that isn't taking no